Now on Radio 4, Desert Island Discs.
Welcome to our island. Glad you came to call. Now you've made yourself at home. You're welcome to us all.
We are simple people. Why are we this way? This is what we always say. It's the way that we bungle the bungle. It's the way that we bangin' a big bass drum. The way that we singin' a song makes a tropic island hum. Hum, hum, hum. Hum, hum, hum. Hum, hum, hum. Ooh, do, 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 do. Hum, hum, hum. Hum, hum, hum. Hum, ooh, hum, hum, hum. Ooh, ooh. Hum, hum, hum. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh. Playing in the sunshine, lots of sea and sand.
It's jolly nice in paradise.
Lordy, ain't life grand?
Feeling good.
Tonight's a special night.
Feeling good.
As usual, the castaway is introduced by Roy Plumley.
This week, we're celebrating an anniversary. It's 40 years ago that I presented Desert Island Discs on the air for the first time, and my 1,630th castaway is, I'm happy to say, Paul McCartney, composer, musician, and ex-Beatle. Paul, how well could you endure loneliness, perhaps for a long time?
Good question. I give in. Next question.
Right.
No, seriously, folks. How well could I endure loneliness? I don't really know. When I was a kid, I never used to mind it too much. Since then, I haven't actually been very lonely, so I haven't kind of tested it lately. But I never used to mind it too much. I used to quite like getting away on my own.
Up the rice in a church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All lonely people, where do they all come from? All lonely people, where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near. Look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Eleanor Rigby died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came. Father Mackenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong?
can you think of one thing you'd be particularly happy to have got away from?
Yes, I would say probably people snatching photographs when I don't want to be photographed. It's probably the one thing I would be glad to get away from.
Paul, I don't think it's news to many people that you come from Liverpool, a Liverpool Irish family. Your mother was a nurse, I believe.
Yeah.
And you had the extreme misfortune to lose her when you were in your early teens. Your father was a salesman.
Yeah, cotton salesman.
And more important than that, a musician.
That's right, yeah. But if you do want to know anything about taking the staple of a piece of cotton, I'll tell you sometime. Talk me all about that.
Well, when I was a little bitty baby, my mama would rock me in the
Yeah, he used to bang about. He had a little band of his own called Jim Mack's Band.
Was he trained, or did he play by ear?
No, he played by ear. Mm. I think he was a great pianist. I mean, he wasn't technically good, but he used to tell me, you know, the old thing of, like, if you go to a party, it's handy to be able to play a piano because then you get all the drinks bought for you and you're the life and soul of the party, you know. Mm.
You weren't really interested in what your father was playing?
I was more interested in rock and roll.
Now, what was the first impact?
I think probably Elvis was the sort of first thing. The first record I actually bought was Bebopalula by Gene Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, those are the things that kind of just made tingles up my spine, you know.
Bebopalula, she my baby. Bebopalula, don't be made. Bebopalula, she my baby. Bebopalula, don't be made. Bebopalula, she my baby. Well, she's a girl in the red blue jeans.
She's the woman walking round the store. She's the woman giving me more, more, more. Beep-a-palula, she's my baby. Beep-a-palula, don't mean maybe. Beep-a-palula, she's my baby. Come on, let me call it, man.
That is Bebopalula by Gene Vincent, the sort of special record for me. He sang it in a film called The Girl Can't Help It. And it was always a big favourite of mine. We got to meet Gene later when we were in Hamburg. But as I say, the first record I ever brought, big impression. To me, it seemed like a whole new direction of music. Pretty respectable people had been singing up until then. But then there was all these people in kind of crazy clothes and sort of guitars and stuff. And
when did you get one? How long did you have to save up or did somebody give you one?
Well, my dad bought me a trumpet because he'd been a trumpeter till his teeth gave out and he got false teeth and he had to give up doing the trumpet. He was a trumpet and pianist. And so he bought me a trumpet. So I swapped the trumpet for a guitar, which I've still got, the guitar. It's a Zenith. And then I took it home and I couldn't play it at all, couldn't even begin to play it. And then I worked out it was because I was left-handed and the guitar wasn't. So I strung it the other way around and then I was able to.
Are you left-handed in everything?
Yeah.
Record number two.
Record number two is Sweet Little 16 by Chuck Berry.
Why?
On most of the records I'm picking today, I could have chosen other records from these people's repertoires. I've chosen one that sort of sums them up. So with Chuck Berry, I've just chosen Sweet Little 16 because it sort of sums him up for me.
The real rockin' in Bronson, Philadelphia, deep in the heart of Texas, down Frisco Bay, all over St. Louis, down to New Orleans. All the cats wanna dance with Sweet Little 16. Sweet Little 16, she's got the grown-up blue, bright dresses and lipstick, sporting high-heeled shoes. Come tomorrow morning, she had to change the trend, back to being just Sweet 16, back in class again. Cause they'd be rocking on Bandstand, Philadelphia, in the heart of Texas, down to Frisco Bay, all over St. Louis, down to New Orleans. All the cats wanna dance with Sweet Little 16. Sweet Little 16, she just got a half, started half a million, signed autographs. While it's full of pictures, she gets them one by one, becomes so excited, watch her look at her run, boy. Oh yeah, yeah, she just got a half. Be back in class and back to school again. Cause they be rocking on Bandstand, Philadelphia, deep in the heart of Texas, down to Frisco Bay, all over St. Louis, all over St. Louis, down to New Orleans. All the cats wanna dance with Sweet Little 16.
Now, the Beatles were sweating it out in the cabin, occasionally going back to Hamburg for further continental success. To what extent were you and John Lennon working seriously at composing and arranging. Had you started seriously? Yeah.
Yes, we had. Really, in very early days of the Beatles, John and I used to take time off school and go home to my house, sagging off, as we used to call it. And we'd go to my house, and I used to prepare a pipe full of Typhoo tea. My dad never left any tobacco around. He left empty pipes around. So I used to smoke Typhoo tea. And we used to sit around being very artsy and sort of think of ourselves as Dylan Thomas or someone, you know. And we started writing together then.
How did you work? I mean, did you sit down and work together, or did one of you get an idea and bring it to the other for a second opinion, or how did it...
Yes, well, it used to happen every way, every possible permutation, really. We never got a formula. It's probably one of the good things about it. We used to just sit down with two guitars, and if neither of us had an idea, we'd just start to look for one with guitars and just start strumming and wait till one came out. Or, quite often, one of us would have thought of a first line or a second line or a chorus or something, and he'd start on that or I'd start.
Now, did the company that accepted you allow you to record the Lennon-McCartney numbers, or did they want the standards?
No, this was one thing about George Martin. Talking to him nowadays, I can get the background story from his point of view, which we never knew then. It turned out that they tended to throw him stuff nobody else really wanted. He got all the sort of comedy, and he was a little bit the light end of the record label he was on. So with us, I think we'd just been steered his way because no one else would have us. And he thought there was something quite interesting there, but he didn't really like our early songs. He's right too, you know, Love Me Do was, but he let us make it as a record. But at first he suggested some real songs written by real songwriters, you know, the people who were working professionally in Charing Cross, down Charing Cross, and Jim Banali people. So after much hooing and hawing, he let us do our own record, which was a minor hit. I think it got in the top 20. So that was really the big start of it all.
Let's have another record.
I haven't chosen any Beatle records, but if we'd had more than eight, I probably would have. I haven't chosen any of my records. So to sort of sum up the whole thing, I've chosen one off John Lennon's record, Double Fantasy, which I think is a beautiful song. It's very moving to me. Anyway, so I'd just like to sum the whole thing up by playing a song called Beautiful Boy.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful boy.
Searching. Now, this is one we used to do at the Cavern with the Beatles, and we used to have little groups of fans who used to give themselves little names. Used to be a group of fans called the Cement Mixers, with some other group called the Wooden Tops. And they just make up little names for themselves, you know, being a little gang. And there was two girls called Chris and Val, and they used to sing Searching, Paul. Sing Searching. That used to be the big request from Chris and Val. Sing Searching. So we always used to do this one. It used to be a big request, and it was a big favourite with the group.
That was me and George did that bit. And John sang the lead. Great. Good words on this one.
Cause I'm searching, oh, I'm searching. Oh my goodness, searching. We're into it, yeah, yeah. But I'm like a Northwest Mountain. You know I'll bring her some.
Searching by the Coasters. If you could take only one disc out of the eight you've played us, which would it be?
I think, for me, it probably would be Beautiful Boy, but it'd be a very hard choice. I probably would take that record by John.
And one luxury you're allowed to take, nothing of any practical use.
Well, that would definitely be a guitar.
Right.
Because that's the kind of thing I can spend hours and engross myself with and write songs.
And one book, apart from the Bible and Shakespeare, which are already there.
Well, I was wondering whether to take a sort of a really sort of impressive book. You know, should I take Canterbury Tales in the original Chaucerian thing? You know, which is something I might take, just because it'd take me forever to work it out. You know, it'd be like a crossword puzzle. And I did a little bit of that school and was vaguely interested, so that would be quite a choice. But I plumped for a book that my wife's put out. She's called Linda's Pictures, because that's got pictures of my kids in it. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of stuff of Linda's, and so that is probably what I'd plump for.
A good family book.
A good family book.
Linda's Pictures. And thank you, Paul McCartney, for letting us hear your Desert Island disc.
Yeah, if you were getting, say, if you, Roy Panley was carrying you off to his desert island, you'd take one or two old Presleys with you?
Well, I'd listen, I've no idea what I'd take Roy Panley. Yeah. No, I don't think, I don't know, really. I think I'd just take enough equipment to sort of get a boat back, you know. I think I wouldn't bother with records.
If you were stranded away on a desert island, Yeah. What 1 gramophone record would you take with you? Excluding the Bible and Sergeant Pepper as obvious choices.
1 gramophone record?
Mm.
It hasn't been made yet.
Oh, you don't think there's any records worth talking about?
Not all the way to a desert island.